please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
Coming up this morning on KBOO, next at 10 o'clock, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein, and 11, Stage and Studio presents a Black History Month documentary, Our Fathers Who Aren't in Heaven, produced by Michael Johnson. At 11:30, Art Focus talks to Diane Durston of the Portland Japanese Garden about Hanakago, the art of flowers. KBOO has been giving people a chance to learn to produce, engineer, host, write, and interview, and create the media that matters to them. Community support has been the reason we've been able to achieve 50 years of radical content, opening the airwaves to any community member who are interested in learning to make media without paying for classes or training. We need your support to continue to make Portland a city of media makers. Join and share our Kickstarter campaign, kboo.fm/Kickstarter, and thank you for your continued support of KBOO.
Portland. Community, sanctuary, solidarity, and mortality. What? Mortality? What's this about mortality, eh? This is at 90.7 FM and KBOO.fm. Go there. If you're not a member, you can become a member. Just saying, push that button. It's bigger than anybody else's button. That's right, mortality. The doomsday clock. To get serious about it. Has never crept so close to doom. This may seem obvious, but wouldn't it be a good idea to drop all these other causes to get us hot and just work together on one goal, staying alive? And I'm not talking about disco dancing either, but what if we did set aside all of all the causes which indeed deserve all the heart we can put into them and put a little bit of muscle behind this one of just staying alive, whatever it takes to roll back the doomsday clock and get us a little bit further away from mutually assured destruction. That might be a good idea. And after that, we will have really accomplished something. We would have set aside all of our special, well, let's just call them causes, all of our causes that we have worked so hard for. Just put it aside for a minute, and if everybody worked together and accomplished this, we would learn something. We would learn what we can do when we are selfless enough to work together. And we would have, that alone would be worth everything. It would be worth the cost. And once that's accomplished and we're still standing up alive on Earth, then we can go return to the causes that we have embraced for years and years. And maybe we'll have learned something. Maybe we'll be able to all work together to accomplish those. But we can't accomplish anything for dead. So get a few triggers for you today. If you don't like the Russian mafia goons, don't listen to the program, for starters. And how about death? Death of democracy? When you're out in the woods and you can't see the forest for the trees, remember to watch out for dog poo anyway. There's always some headhole whose dog is off-leash. Think it through. That one is full of triggers. So weather today, before we get rolling, we're going to try to talk to James Henry today. He's an economist, and he is on the trail. He's all over money laundering guys like the guys that Donald Trump himself is associated with. Money launderers. The money launderers that Trump likes to play with are, Mueller is right up behind them, very close. Can't use the actual word, but let's just say that Robert Mueller is pretty close by these guys. Indictments are falling like the snow is falling outside. And we're going to be speaking with Sophia McLennan in just a moment. McLennan just wrote a piece. The Russia election investigation is important, but it's not everything. That's in Salon if you want to have a look. Remember when the right couldn't stop obsessing over Benghazi, the attack on the U.S. embassy? I find that I do agree with this to a certain extent. But I think that the implications of Russian involvement in so many aspects of our lives, of capitalism, this is very much worth continuing with and finally nailing it down. So we're going to be speaking to Sophia. Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. Well, I've been looking myself into some of these questions that arise in the course of highly entertaining, I'll say that, Mueller's investigation into the money trail, paper trail, the real estate trail, none other than the press, Donald Trump himself. Who could possibly imagine something like this happening, that the President of the United States, just barely out of his first year in the White House, having been revealed to be involved with Russian mafia. And of course, in the world of money laundering, real estate, there's just nothing better. So you feel that your piece, I saw the Russian election investigation is important, but it's not everything. Tell us then, what is everything?
Well, so the basic concept behind the piece, right, is that the bandwidth of the Russia story is bigger than the reality of the Russia story. I agree with you completely. We want to understand exactly what's going on. But you sort of explained also the other problem, which is that it's very distracting, right? It's it has all of the elements, right, of a thriller. In the piece, I talk about that viral video that many of us have seen, where it's like everyone's running and they're about to get arrested, and it has the video's called "It's Mueller Time," and it has Jim Comey in it, and it's all very fantasy. It's a great fantasy, but the reality is that whatever we find out about Russia, it's not really going to fix the problem of how we got Trump. And that's an important thing to recognize, is that whether it was Trump or not, the circumstances that got him elected are a lot bigger than the question of Russian meddling And we now have a lot of information about the range of Russian meddling in terms of social media that shows that it was affecting the left and the right, too, that it was increasing polarization. As you said, there's a lot to unpack here. But the bigger problem that the United States needs to face is this issue of how we've allowed our democracy to be hijacked by an oligarchy. And that's not Russia's fault. That's our own fault, right?
Yeah.
And until we sort of get down to the, you know, it's a very, very satisfying fantasy for those of us who don't like Trump to think that Mueller could get rid of him and then we'd be all fine. But we're not going to be all fine. We're not going to be fine until we deal with Citizens United. We're not going to be fine until we deal with gerrymandering. We're not going to be fine until we deal with campaign finance issues across the board. So, like, none of that gets fixed with Russia. And that was really the concept behind the piece, that there's a lot of really serious threats to our democracy that are, in fact, completely homegrown.
Well, there is an interesting piece in the recent Atlantic, America is Not a Democracy, by Yasha Funk. I found it to be pretty much, no pun intended, on the money when in the context of the Mueller's investigation, America is not a democracy anymore. And that is why what has happened has happened, because it's the events that Mueller is uncovering in the course of the investigation are simply incomprehensible in the context of democracy as we understand it. The fact of the matter being that in this piece, so that America never was a democracy, it was a republic. They're very different. Now, of course, we have capitalism.
But no, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think the thing that folks have to remember is that somehow the United States chose to elect a person to the highest office we have who had never once served the government or the country in any way. So how was it that people are surprised that he doesn't care about Russian meddling? Because he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand why you might, say, put country before ego. He doesn't get that because he has zero experience with it. But the bigger thing that we all have to be asking ourselves is, how did he get all the votes he got? Because, sure, maybe, we still don't have conclusive information on what kind of sort of swinging the Russian meddling might have done in terms of voter preferences. We're still trying to understand the details of that. But at the end of the day, there's a substantial amount of people who live in the United States and have the right to vote and thought Donald Trump would be a good president. That right there should tell you that exactly right. We have a real crisis in our democracy.
And they're not changing their mind either, those people. That 35% not going to change their mind. I wanted to ask you something that came up for me in reading this piece, and that is, going back and in considering the collapse of the Soviet Union and what happened in the aftermath, where it was looted by what we come to refer to as oligarchs. People, they ran in to the old Soviet Union and they privatized everything they could lay their hands on. Aluminum immediately comes to mind. So there was a sea change in their system of government, and it looks to me like we have a sea change in our system of government right now, and where we are is the aftermath and the rubble. And it seems trying to observe this from an outside perspective, Trump and his associates and those he owes favors to are looting the country. Every single thing they can that formerly public is being privatized. It looks to me like they've starved the national park system right down to the bone, and then they're going to say, well, we can't give you any more money, so why don't we sell you to a private company and they'll get you out of this. It seems to me that that's what's happening.
You're absolutely right. Yep.
This.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, and in fact, your diagnosis of this as the moment when the Soviet Union breaks is exactly the moment that process begins here too, right? So, you know, neoliberal privatization and deregulation and sort of the general ideology of abandoning the common good didn't only happen. I mean, it wasn't limited to one country, right? That has become sort of the, you know, sort of modus operandi of a number of nations today. You know, my training was originally as a Latin Americanist, and the first real test case for this was Chile, as it was, you know, transitioning yes. from Allende to Pinochet. And the reality is that I've always said to people, do you really want to live in a place where there's no social safety net? I've seen places where you can have someone hit by a car and the ambulance won't take them unless they know that you're going to pay. I mean, we have bit by bit, you put the nail right on the, you know, hit the nail right on the head with the, you know, the concept of the public park system, the concept of what the EPA does or the FDA or the CDC or any of these organizations. What you have in the United States today is an electorate that is grossly uninformed about why those things matter.
And adamantly uninformed about this. I would love to talk to you a lot more, and I hope to have you back on the program. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. My guest has been Sophia McLennan, and we are KBOO Air Cascadia for Tuesday, February 20th, 2018. Ray engineered for us today. Thank you so much for that. Derek Crooks is our AM News and Public Affairs Director. Thanks, Derek. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
This is KBOO Portland. Coming up next is Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein.